Hey, Fresh Life, Levi, coming to you from Barbara. It's Santa Barbara. It's Friday night, and we are just at the finishing stages of the load, and the team's been working so hard all day, and the first of five dates here in California for the O2 Experience Winter Tour, kicking off 2015, believing that many people are going to come to know Jesus over the next 10 days, and that many people are going to hear about God's plan for their love lives, and hopefully be spared many consequences that God never intended to be a part of our relationships and our lives. So do please pray for these events, and they'll all be webcast live. You can join in, and we're so excited. But while we're here charging it in California, we have a little bit of California. We've imported into Montana by way of Sydney, Australia. That'll make sense in just a moment. Jenny and I have recently built a friendship and become friends with Pastor Ben and his wife, Lucille Houston, who recently have moved from Australia to Los Angeles to open up the doors to Hillsong Church LA. And this is a work of God you have to see with your own eyes to believe. They're meeting in this Belasco Theater, this epic, vibey spot in Los Angeles. Thousands of people lining up down the street to get in to hear God's word taught and to worship Jesus there. And many, many, many people coming to know Jesus. It's a radical thing that God's doing. And I, for one, am thankful that these guys would have the step of faith to leave the known, to leave their life in Sydney, Australia, where they were comfortable and very happy, and to be willing to come to our country and to bless us with the word of God. They've come here really to America as missionaries to bring God's word to us, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful to have had the opportunity for us to become friends with them, and that they were willing to take some time for Ben to come and preach in the Fresh Life House. And so it's also going to be special, because it's the first time ever in human history that an Australian accent has been spoken in Montana that I know of. At least we could say for sure, preached at Fresh Life Church. That's probably safer. There's probably been an Australian accent in Montana. But I'm getting ahead of myself. If you're in Missoula or Whitefish, Kalispell, Billings, Bozeman, or even potentially in Helena, and you're watching this in the webcast, the site of our seventh campus, which we're all tremendously excited about. Or if you're watching on the internet or on the radio listening to this weekend, I just know how thankful we are that you're taking this time to be with us. You're about to hear God's word preached, and we just want to let you know God loves you. He's for you, and all of our love from California. And for now, those of you who are sitting, come on, stand back up, and let's all together, let's welcome Pastor Ben Houston to the Fresh Life stage. Come on, church, go crazy.
Are you well, church? Anyone excited to be in the house today? I think we need to give an almighty shout of praise to our God, because He is so good and He is here with us this weekend. Jesus' name. Big thank you to the team as well. You guys are amazing. We love you. You can grab a seat. It is so good to be in Montana. This is my first time. You gotta understand, I am from Australia, living in Los Angeles. We're pretty new and pretty fresh to the United States of America. So when I told my daughters that I was going to Montana, of course, the only thing that popped into their mind was, are you going to see Hannah Montana? I had to try explain as much as I knew, but it really is so good to be here. This is such a beautiful part of the world, and it really is an honor to be here. I want to send all my love to Pastor Levi and Jenny, because, you know, it's only been recently that we've gotten to meet these guys, gotten to know them, had the honor of meeting them in Los Angeles, and also thank you so much to the church for releasing them to do what they're doing right now in that part of the world. But, you know, Carl Lentz, who I know is a friend of this church and loved by pretty much everyone, Carl told me when I was coming here that Pastor Levi was someone to look out for. Just a great young man, incredible pastor, leader, incredible preacher and communicator. So you've already done it. I was going to say as a church, let's honor your pastors, but you've already done that. So let's do it again. It's awesome. And I understand that today we're speaking to 6 different locations. So if you're not like right here with me, that's all right. It's cool. You can see me on the screen. And I've been watching you. So it's good. I'm really excited to be here. I don't take any of these opportunities lightly. Any opportunity to come and stand on a platform like this and bring the Word of God, it carries an incredible weight and responsibility. And I'm well aware of that. I understand the weight in that. And I guess myself, I would choose to spend time with God, spend time in His Word, and really seek Him for what He has to say. And I really believe that what God wants to say today truly is going to be a word in season for people. My greatest desire is that we could do whatever we can just to remove some of the distractions, remove some of those things that might be holding us back, and just be ready to open up our hearts, be ready to open up our minds, and be ready to receive what God has for us today, because His Word is powerful. Do you believe that? His Word is powerful. It is life to our souls. It is fuel to us. And I really believe that as we turn to His Word of God, that incredible things can happen. Supernatural things can happen. Lives can be turned around in an instant. And that's really what I'm believing for today. And if you got your Bibles, I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. The Word of God says, "Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope that we affirm. For God can be trusted to keep His promise." Let us hold tightly without wavering to this hope that we affirm. You know, I had one of those families growing up. Many of us would have had those families where you go when you're a teenager because you know you're going to have a lot of fun and someone's probably going to get injured. We had one of those family. I mean, their surname says it all. Their surname was Strong. Like Jason Strong, Shane Strong. Good Australian country people. They lived on this acreage, and any time that we would go there, you just knew that it was going to be an adventure. They had 6 children, and there was always so many people there, so much stuff happening. And so on this one particular day, we went there, and I was with my good friend Tim, who, like Pastor Levi, is a skinny person. This is going to preach the truth right now. My friend Tim, he was like an enthusiastic person but lacked coordination. And so we pull up to the Strong's house and we notice that as we're driving into the driveway, they had this big tractor, it was a Kubota, like a John Deere type tractor. There was a rope attached to the back of it which went over the highest tree in their front yard, a rope that came down the other side. And as I'm driving in, I'm thinking something's happening today. This is going to be amazing. And so we get there and we go inside, and Mrs. Strong was incredible. She, on a daily basis, did that whole miracle with the fishes and loaves because there would be so many people there and she would manage to feed everyone. I don't know how she would do it. So we have this great feed, and then the boys, the brothers, they were like, "Are you ready? We've got an adventure for today." And so we come outside, and sure enough, Jason, the older brother, gets on the tractor. Shane, one of the younger brothers, he stands there and he holds this rope. And I mean, you can see where this is going. We're all watching in amazement. This is going to be incredible, you know. And Jason takes off on this tractor. Shane, holding onto this rope, goes shooting up into the sky. He stops just in time before he hits the branch, starts swinging. I mean, this guy is so high in the sky. And we're all laughing and cheering, thinking this is incredible. He lowers it back. And, you know, then one of the other brothers went and gave it a go as well. And I could see my friend Tim. He was just excited. He was like a squirrel, you know. He's just like, he's just ready to go. And so he's so excited about this. We knew Tim's, track record, his lack of coordination in certain things. And so there was a little bit of fear and hesitation on our part when it came to Tim having a go. So sure enough, he stands there and he grabs a hold of this rope, and Tim weighs barely anything. And Jason takes off on this tractor. Tim goes shooting into the sky so fast, I cannot even tell you. And sure enough, he gets super high, and all that we are all screaming is, "Don't let go. Don't let go. Please don't let go." Like, you know, it's our greatest desire. We see Tim shoot up into the air. He freaks out and lets go of the rope. You know, in life, those slow motion moments, it's like you see him flailing through the air. We're like, oh no. He comes flying down, lands sort of on his back, bounces. He's come from such a high height. He managed to break his arm in the moment. We, for a split second, you know, showed utter concern and empathy, and then we broke out in laughter. that's what you do when you're a teenage boy. But we're screaming at him, don't let go. And the title of the message this weekend, what I want to speak to you today, is don't let go. Don't let go. And we need to understand that in this journey that we are on, as we walk this life that God has given us, that we understand that we cannot let go of him. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold tightly, tightly, without wavering, to this hope that we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. You know, we can have this tendency at times to hold on to God when things are going good. I mean, in the good season, we're loving life. We're praising him. Things are going great. But when things start getting difficult, when we start facing some of the challenges in life, sometimes they're the moments where we want to let go of God. We want to let go of our faith. Why is it that we would let go of God in the middle of something that's challenging and hard? Why is it when we're in the middle of the storm that that's the time that we think we should let go of the one that is faithful enough to carry us through it? Scripture talks to us that we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But understand the key word in that is the fact that we are walking through it. It's not in the middle of that spot that we decide to sit down and set up camp. Understand that God is faithful. Understand that his promises are for us, that he has something great in store for each and every single one of you. And we need to ensure that we are always holding on to God. There's this story in Genesis, this story of Joseph. It was reading this story where I really felt God speak to me about this whole thought and this concept. Many of us know the story of Joseph. Joseph was a young man, 17 years of age. God speaks to him. God gives him a dream, gives him a vision. It's a good dream. It's an exciting dream. It's a dream of significance and authority. He's excited about it. He ends up telling his father and his older brothers about it, which, listen to me, I'm a younger brother. Understand, that's a silly move. He tells his older brothers, you know, and it's kind of to the effect that they're going to one day bow down to him. So as expected, his brothers hate him for this dream. And what happens over this next period of time is nothing but challenge and heartache for young Joseph. God has given him this great dream, but all of a sudden he's found himself in a difficult position. You see, his brothers hated him so much for it that they wanted to kill him. I mean, they wanted to kill him, but instead of killing him, they decide, nah, let's not do that. Maybe we could get something from this. They see some slave traders. They end up selling him into slavery. I mean, here's Joseph, full of God, full of this dream, excited for all that God had for him, finds himself thrown into a pit, finds himself sold into slavery. And while in slavery, he's a man of character, integrity, starts doing well within his master's house. He starts getting to a place of authority there, even though he's still a slave, and his master's wife starts to get the hots for him. He's a good-looking young man, as the word describes, and she gets the hots for him. She starts to hit on him, and he's a man of character and integrity and purity, and he understands that that's not right, and so he rejects the master's wife. She's so embarrassed by it, she ends up framing him, telling everyone that he tried to get with her. So what happens now? He gets thrown in prison. I mean, here's this guy. Things are going good. God's given him this dream, this vision. He's excited. Now he finds himself thrown in pit, finds himself sold into slavery. Now he finds himself thrown into prison. And it ends up getting to the point where God's faithfulness comes through. He ends up getting to a point, as you read through Genesis, where he becomes the second most important person in all the land. God takes him on this journey. There's twists, there's turns, there's ups, there's downs. But God takes him to this journey where eventually that dream becomes a reality. But I want you to notice something here, and we're going to pick this up in Genesis 45. And verse 1, you see there is this famine in the land. God spoke to Joseph about it. He prophesied it. They were diligent. They stored up food. And so we're in this position in Genesis 45, verse 1, where Joseph's brothers, who haven't seen him for 13 years, for all they know, Joseph is dead. They just remember selling him into slavery. They've got no food, and they come to the temple to find food. And we pick this up, Genesis 45, verse 1. Listen to this. Joseph's now speaking to his brothers, yet they don't know that it's him yet. So Joseph could stand it no longer. There were many people in the room, and he said to his attendants, "Out, all of you." So he was alone with his brothers when he told them who he was. And then he broke down and wept. He wept so loudly that the Egyptians could hear him, and word of it quickly carried to Pharaoh's palace. "I am Joseph," he said to his brothers. "Is my father still alive?" But his brothers were speechless. They were stunned to realize that Joseph was standing there in front of them. "Please come closer," he said to them. So they came closer, and he said again, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into slavery in Egypt." Listen to this. "But don't be upset, and don't be angry with yourselves for selling me to this place. It was God who sent me here ahead of you to preserve your lives. And this famine that has ravaged the land for 2 years will last 5 more years, and there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. God has sent me ahead of you to keep you and your families alive and to preserve many survivors." Verse 8 says, "So it was God who sent me here, not you. And he is the one who made me an advisor to Pharaoh, the manager of his entire palace and the governor of all Egypt." I don't know about you, but I read this and I admire this person's confidence in who God is. There is this knowledge, this revelation almost of God's lordship, of God's guidance in this situation. I truly believe it's revelation, that there is this confidence that God has taken them on the journey, that God has guided them, that God has led them and taken them to the place that they're at. But what amazes me in this is who is saying it and who he is saying it to. You see, I'm a younger brother. I have an older brother, Joel. And some of you know my older brother, Joel. He does stuff with Hillsong United. He writes all that music. Everyone thinks he's an angel. Everyone loves Joel. But I know the truth. I think about this situation. I think about if my brothers hated me so much that they were going to kill me, but then they thought they'll make a little bit of money and sold me into slavery. It was the beginning of 13 years, the first domino that started 13 years of hell, to be honest. And now after all of this time, I finally am encountering the very person that did this to me. I mean, can we be honest? I know how I would react in that situation. Yet Joseph, in this position, has this confidence in who God is. Confidence in God's guidance, his authority. He says, "It wasn't you who did this to me. It was God. It was not you, but it was God." I pray that we could live with that kind of confession, that kind of understanding, that no matter what life looks like right now, no matter what season we are going through, no matter what the challenge, the heartache, the loss, the brokenness, that we could have the kind of confidence in God that he is in control. That we don't get to a point where we start to let go of our faith. We let go of that hope that we profess to, where we let go of God, but we understand that God is faithful, that he is King of Kings, that he is Lord of Lords. I pray we can get to a place where we understand that no matter how hard the challenge or the season we might find ourselves in, that God is faithful. We know how to hold on to him. I pray for this year that that's the way that we live. We know how to hold on to God, that we're not going to let go of him. My prayer for you, for this church, for you, for your family, is that in 2015, we know how to hold on to God, that we would focus on the destination, focus on the end point of what God has for us, that we would trust God with the journey of our lives, that we could have this kind of confession like Joseph, that God is leading us and we're not letting go of him. You know, so often in humanity, in life, we try find a crutch. We try find an excuse. We try find something that may excuse the way that we are living or the situation that we're in right now. Does anyone play golf out of interest? I know you don't even see grass for most of the year. So. I never played golf, but like I'm getting into being a pastor, you know, that's what we do, we play golf. it's not true at all. I thought I would try golf. I hate golf. I don't like it in the slightest. It makes no sense to me. You stand there with a stick, you try to hit a ball, and it does not go anywhere near where you think it's going to go. And so I try to play this game of golf, and I stand there, and you know, I well and truly get my money's worth, taking 15 more shots than everyone else every single hole. But, you know, it's funny when you play golf because it's like you want to try to blame something. It's like, it's not me, like, these are not my clubs, you know? It's not my club. Oh, I'm spit sore today. It's like, you try to make some sort of excuse of why you're not performing in the spot. And, you know, sometimes we do that in life. We try to find a crutch. We try to find an excuse. Something's happened to us, and potentially God has taken us through it. Potentially we've turned a corner or overcome some stuff, but something inside of us, we want to just live with that crutch or that excuse. You know, I look at this story of Joseph. He has every reason to point the finger and blame. He has every reason, yet no matter what stage he is in, no matter how much I look into his life and this story, it just seems like he's continually got this knowledge, this confidence that even though the situation doesn't look great right now, that my God is faithful. He gave me a dream. He gave me a vision, and he is faithful to carry me through it. I pray that we could live that way. Not leaning on our weaknesses, not blaming other people for what might have happened to us, but taking responsibility. Taking responsibility for our lives, for our attitude, for our spirit. We would hold on to him. You know, life is a journey full of twists and turns. Full of twists and turns. There is highs and lows. There is good seasons. There's some difficult seasons. I know every single person, if we're to be honest with ourselves, we understand that life has its seasons. I wish I could say that once we find Jesus Christ, that everything is rosy, but his word is sure to remind us that that is not the case. And we're going to go through our seasons. We're going to go through our challenges. And I understand today there are some people here. You're in a good place right now. And praise God for that. But I'm also well aware that there's some people and you're listening to this message right now and you're facing some things. You're going through some stuff. Life is a journey. And I remember a few years back, my family and I, it was our summer holiday, our summer vacation, and we decided we're going to go on a road trip. I mean, a road trip always sounds great. The idea is awesome. The reality of it sometimes doesn't quite go that way. And we'd planned this trip with a whole lot of our friends. There was about 8 families. We were all going to this place and we were driving up the coast of Australia. I mean, a beautiful drive, there's beaches, it's incredible. It's gonna be amazing. I woke up that morning and just loading the car was like the hardest version of Tetris you could imagine. We had way too much stuff. Trying to jam everything in. It's raining. We're all getting wet. My kids are angry and frustrated. I love my children. Please believe that. I do love my children like 40% of the time. They're amazing. This trip, everything that could have gone wrong went wrong. The idea was awesome. The reality of it was something else. My kids, they were hungry because I took so long to load the car. They were hungry. We haven't even got out of Sydney yet and we're pulling over to get food. You know that that's not a good sign. We're pulling over before we've even got out of our city. It was one of those trips where I sincerely would have preferred to peel the skin off my face than continue with that drive. We were fighting, we were arguing, my kids were complaining and crying and it was one of those trips, and sometimes this journey of life can feel a bit that way. We can be full of hope, we can be full of excitement and ambition, but as we walk out every single day, as we take those steps, sometimes there are things that make us just want to let go of God, let go of that excitement, let go of those dreams. Now, I want to talk to you about what the Word of God says about his faithfulness to the end. In Philippians 1 and verse 6, Scripture says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. God is faithful, and the good thing that he has started in us, He is faithful enough to bring it to completion. He's faithful. What is it that God has placed in your heart? What dreams have you been pursuing and going after? Because God is faithful. He will carry it through to completion. The very fact that many of us have encountered Jesus Christ, that enough is God starting something good in us. That alone. We need to know that He is faithful to carry it through. In Romans 8 and verse 28, Scripture says, we know that God causes everything. Someone say everything.
Everything.
God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purposes for them. All things, everything. I mean, God can cause everything. I know in my own life, sometimes I get stuck on this whole concept. I remember just a few years back, a good friend of mine, another Tim, popular name in Australia, different Tim. But he was a really good friend of mine and professional football player over there, and his brother, 23 years of age, they were really close, best of friends. Brother was diagnosed with a stage 4 cancer. I remember getting with my friend Tim. We were getting into the Word of God. I remember full of faith, praying, believing for healing. And I remember when Johnny, his brother, 23 years of age, he had a great turnaround. And we were praising God. We were so excited for all that God was doing. And not long after that, he had a rapid turn. And not long after that, he went to be with Jesus. He went to heaven. And I remember this just a few years back. I remember my confusion. I remember me going, man, I was reading the Word of God. I was so full of faith. I remember the confusion inside my spirit and my heart. I can't for a second begin to explain the ways of God. Scripture tells us that we cannot fathom His ways. His ways are higher than ours. His thoughts are higher than ours. I question whether we should even be trying to understand some of this stuff. But one thing that I do know is I remember that at Johnny's funeral, there was about 20 of his friends that we had been believing for. We for a long time had been telling about Jesus, inviting to church, and they were always so cold to it. And on that day at his funeral, about 20 of his friends all responded to Jesus in that situation. Now, does that help with some of the pain of the situation? Not entirely, not really. But if I for a second can get out of my own little bubble that I live in, maybe get some perspective, some godly perspective, and look at it from a different angle, understanding that Johnny loved Jesus with all of his heart. And as painful as it was for Tim, his brother, and for me, and for so many others that we lost Johnny that day, that there was 20 people whose lives and eternities are changed out of that situation. We know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purposes for them. Revelation 22 verse 13 says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. It all begins with God, but friend, it all ends with Him. We need to understand God's faithfulness to the end. If we're going to live our lives this year, if we're going to understand that we are going to hold on to God, not letting go of Him, no matter what the circumstance or the situation looks like, we need to understand God's faithfulness to the end. We need to understand that He is on our side, that He is for us. Do you believe that, church? So there's two things that I want to pray over you. Two things that I want to pray over you. We're going to look at this story of Joseph. Firstly, is patience for the journey. I want to pray patience for the journey. The time I'm talking about when we drove up the coast, we needed patience for the journey. I mean, there was a couple of times I wanted to open the door and just let the kids out. The middle of the freeway, it's all good, you know. It's like patience for the journey. I look at this story of Joseph. I look at the fact that God gave him this dream. But then you look at the journey, you look at all of the years. I mean, 13 years. He needed patience for the journey. And it's no different for us, friend. We need to understand patience in God, patience in His promises, patience in all of the stuff that He has for us. The truth is, in our world today, everything is about being bigger, faster, more efficient, right? Like technology, everything. It's about being quicker and faster. And we talk about phones these days. And like we get frustrated because it takes like 7 seconds for a web page to open, you know? So we go to Instagram and we watch that thing and we're like, oh, good Lord, like this is terrible. Like, do you remember not that long ago when you wanted to go onto the internet? You had to like pull the phone out, your little sister's on the phone, you pull the cord out and you plug it into that modem, it starts making those noises, boom, boom, boo, boo, like, you know? Take like 25 minutes just to kind of get the thing ready to go. And then you click a button, we're like, we're on the World Wide Web, this is amazing, you know? It's like one line of something, ooh, look, you know? Another line, it's coming. Like 10 minutes later, it's opened a web page and you're like, oh my goodness, this is incredible. But these days, no, it takes 7 seconds to open something on our phone and we get frustrated at it. Technology and stuff like that, it causes us to be impatient. I was speaking this message, this thought in our church in Los Angeles recently, and I was talking about In-N-Out, which I mean In-N-Out in California. Good Lord. I could be spitting absolute fire about Jesus and His grace. And everyone's like, amen, that's good. That's good. I mentioned In-N-Out and the Holy Spirit like comes into that place. Tongues of fire and everything. You know, they're like. If I was talking about In-N-Out, I was saying, I got to be honest, I love In-N-Out. It's a great thing, you know, but it's this whole concept of fast food. Fast food. It's like you go there and you're going to get some fast food, but you pull into In-N-Out and there is 400 cars there every single time. And we get frustrated and impatient with it. It's just me, right? It's just me. You guys are good here. Just me. Technology and all of this stuff causes us to be impatient with so many things. My prayer for this year, my prayer for you, for your family, for us as a church, my prayer is that we've got patience for the journey that God has for us. That when it comes to all that He has for us, that we're not living our lives impatient. When it comes to the dreams that God has placed inside of your heart, when it comes to the things that you are pursuing, that you are chasing, that we got patience for the journey. Joseph, I believe, just showed us that example. He had patience for the journey. Galatians 6 and verse 9, the scripture tells us, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. Let's not grow weary. Let's not get tired with doing what is good. For at the proper time, can I tell someone right here that the proper time is not necessarily our timing? It's so easy to get impatient with the things of God when we set our little plans and we set our goals for the year and things aren't quite going to plan. But friend, don't grow weary in doing good. Don't get tired in doing what is right. For at the proper time, God's proper time, we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. I want to pray patience for the journey. Second thing I want to pray is perspective till the end. Perspective till the end. For us to fix our eyes on the end point that God has for us, we need a little bit of perspective to get out of our bubble and see from a different view. You know, I look at this story of Joseph. I look at the different situations that he is, the fact that he's in slavery, the fact that he's in prison, yet no matter where he is, no matter what he's doing, it always just seems like there is this quiet confidence that everything's going to be okay. I mean, the more I look at it, the more I read into it, it's just like this. I believe it's revelation that everything's going to be okay. I believe that Joseph lives that way despite what the current circumstance looks like because he's got a bit of godly perspective. You see, perspective is the ability to get out of our bubble and to look from a different view. When I talk about my friend Johnny, who we lost a couple of years ago, I needed to kind of get out of my own pain and hurt in that situation, which was real and which was there. I needed to get out of that for just a moment and get a little bit of godly perspective. It's that ability to get out of what we see directly in front of us and look from a different view. My prayer for us, church, is that we understand that we need some godly perspective. If we're to hold on to God, hold on to all that He has for us, we need a little bit of godly perspective. There's so many times in my life where I could be stressing out on something, frustrated at something, and hey, it's like I'm angry and things aren't going well. And I'll come to a place like church or somewhere where all of a sudden I'm snapped out of that bubble that I'm in. I'll see some video of what we're doing as a church in Mumbai in India with reaching the children that are living literally in the garbage heaps and in the dumps. We'll look at what we're doing with some of the stuff with the child soldiers and such in Africa, or we'll see some sort of video of A21 and the incredible stuff that they're doing, rescuing people out of human slavery. And it's almost like, what am I even talking about? Like, here I am stressing out over the smallest of little things. Yet the truth is, God is so good. Now, I want you to hear me for a moment right now. I don't for one second want to belittle any of the things that you may be facing right now. Now, I understand that there are some people here and you may be facing some serious challenges. But in the same breath, I want to say to you that if we're to hold on to God, if we're to step into all that He has for us, we need some godly perspective. We need something that's going to take us from that place, open up our eyes, that we would see from a different view, that we would see from God's perspective. And I say focus to the end because I believe that we need to set our attention to the end point, that we need to focus on that final spot that God has for us. Fix our eyes on Him. Fix our eyes on all that He has for us. It's so easy in life to get distracted by things, right? Distractions, they're so real. I know for me, I love my family with all of my heart. My wife and my three little girls are everything to me. I mean, I say that with all honesty. I love my children so much. But there are times when I'm doing like really important things, like watching sport. It's like, this is important. You know, I'm watching sport and I'm into it. And my daughter, whom I love so much, will come up to me and she's like, Daddy, 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 Daddy. I'm like staring at the TV. Daddy, 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 Daddy. My daughter's learned at about two. They're like, Daddy, Daddy, Ben. I'm like, oh, yep. Why is it that that happens? I mean it when I say that that kid means everything to me. Yet I get distracted by something and I'm ignoring the one that means everything to me. We do that so often in life. God places things inside of our hearts. We're chasing after different dreams and different stuff, or we're just walking this journey of life, yet we get distracted by so many different things. And my prayer is that we can have perspective to the end, that we're not getting distracted by the things that don't matter. We can keep pressing on into all that God has for us. Perspective to the end. Let me invite the team to come back up here. You know, I think about that journey, that road trip, that we went on just a couple years back. I remember it because we were so excited for this trip. I mean, 8 or 10 friends, like all these kids, we'd planned all of this stuff. I was so looking forward to it, but I promise you it sticks out so strong in my memory because the trip up there was absolute hell. We just yelled and fought. It rained the whole way. I'm like, good Lord, I just wanted to turn around so many times. I'll never forget when we finally got to that place that we were going to. It had rained the entire way. There were accidents on the road. We got stuck in ridiculous traffic. Everyone hungry, everyone sick, everyone fighting. But I'll never forget that as we were driving into that little town, and all of a sudden the rain stopped, sun started shining. And that week was one of the greatest vacations that I've ever had. It sticks out in my mind because it was so relevant to what I wanted to speak about today. The fact that sometimes we can be full of great dreams. God has started something inside of us, and all of a sudden, life starts to throw a few twists and turns. All of a sudden, we start to face some challenges, some heartaches. And why is it in those moments that we want to let go of the very one who is faithful enough to carry us through it? My prayer is that we can have patience for the journey. Understanding that He is faithful, that He is King of kings and Lord of lords, that He will carry us through. My prayer is that we'll have perspective to the end. I reckon my friend Tim, like, what would go through your head to let go at the absolute peak? Like, I mean, that is not perspective, right? That is the dumbest thing that you can do. But I bet you in that moment, just full of so much fear, he's like, I just got to get back down. I don't know what he was thinking. But I pray that that's not the story of our lives. Don't let go of God, friend. Don't let go of His word. Don't let go of His faithfulness. Understand the plan that He has for you. Understand that He is on your side, that He is for you. Hebrews 10 and verse 23, again, it says, let us hold tightly without wavering to this hope that we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep His promise. You know, I think about what's happening in our church in Los Angeles right now. I think about this journey that we're on, and man, it is one whirlwind adventure. It doesn't make a lot of sense of how we even ended up there. I love Australia. We had it so good. Our church is incredible. What's happening over there? I had great responsibility. My wife and I had just built our first house. We had a home, our family, our friends, our support networks. We had three tiny little children. My daughter, my eldest daughter, was just about to start kindergarten, to start school. And all of a sudden, God starts burning something in my heart. I mean, so much so that I could not speak about it. This did not make any sense in the natural. Yet I couldn't shake it. Anytime I spent time with God, anytime I was thinking about the future and planning things, it just kept coming back. The city of LA, the people. I didn't even like LA, to be honest. Don't tell anyone there, all right? Don't tell anyone. Our secret, Montana, all right? Just you and me. I didn't even like LA. It's a crazy city. A city filled with so many people that are broken and lost. And that's the stuff that stirs my heart more than anything else. I remember this journey of us and speaking to Lucille, and we finally got to the point where we're like, I think we're going to do this. Like, is this happening? The next thing we know, it's announced. It's like it's out there. We're standing there in LA going, what is happening? We start doing these different events. We got given this nightclub to use. We're like, all right, let's do it. You know, and the people that rocked up, we just walked around telling everyone about the fact that, I think having an Australian accent helped because people were like open to have a conversation. I tell them we're doing a church. They're like, cool, can I come? I'm like, all right, you know, it's like. But I remember this journey of 2014 for us last year. It was like, we were starting this church. It was like a blink and it was happening. And then all of the stuff that started to happen, we got told by our lawyers, you know, that the visa process would be easy. It'd be easy. A couple months and you're good, you know. So we've like started church now, and our visa was, in the end, it took basically 11 months to come through. I would like be down to have church on Sunday and get a phone call 2 days before saying you got to leave the country, you got to go back to Australia, take the whole family. Flying all the way to Australia with three young kids is not pleasant, let's say that. Pray first. No, it's all good. I know this journey for us, it's like, man, it's been full of unexpected twists and turns. But I choose to live my life understanding that God is faithful. Understanding that He is the one that is guiding us, that is calling us. It doesn't make a lot of sense in the natural. It doesn't make a lot of sense when you look at our circumstance and the different stuff, but God has called us to do something and He is faithful. And I stand here today. We are such a baby church there in LA. But the baby is kind of big and scary. I look at the stories. I sit there and I speak with these people, and just what is going on there in that city, it is completely blowing my mind. We've already seen incredible miracles that I cannot explain to you outside of the fact that our God is good. We've seen addictions completely broken. We've seen lives and eternities completely turned around. I stand there pretty much every single Sunday, emotionally unstable, trying to hold back the tears because people's lives are just being turned around. It's got nothing to do with us, everything to do with the fact that God is good and that He is on our side. And I tell you that because the truth is, we're not at the end point. This is just the beginning of this journey. But for every single one of you that's here today, we're all on this journey of life. My prayer is that we know not to let go of God, to hold on to Him, to hold on to His promises, hold on to His word, hold on to His faithfulness. It's in the middle of the storm that we need it the most, that we got to grip on the tightest to Him. It's in the middle of the challenge and the heartache when we need to make sure that we're holding on to God. So Father, right now I pray for Your people. I thank You that people have made the effort to be here today, to hear Your word, Lord. I pray for every individual. I pray for every family that's represented. God, we choose right now to trust in Your faithfulness, to trust in Your word and Your promise. Lord, I know for some people here, we've been impatient when it comes to the things of You, when it comes to our dreams and it's come to different stuff, we've become impatient. Lord, I just pray patience for the journey right now. Lord, I pray perspective for people. I pray that right now, Lord God, that You would be able to take people out of that bubble that they may be living in. Father, I don't wish to undermine or to minimalize anything that people might be facing right now. But God, I pray that we would all understand, that we would all understand that You are bigger, Lord God, that Your name is higher, that You are for us, Lord. And if You are for us, who could be against us? So God, I speak blessing, I speak favor, I speak increase, I speak Your goodness and Your word over Your people. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen.
Thank you for watching or listening to this message at Fresh Life Church. My name is Raul, and I'm one of the campus pastors here at Fresh Life. We're so stoked that you joined us. Now, if you're listening to this message and you think to yourself, man, I need to give my life to Christ. Well, we want to give you that opportunity. You can click on the button called Know God at FreshLifeChurch.com. First off, greatest decision you've ever made. But click that button, Know God, and we'll send you some resources like a Bible, a message, and some things to encourage you on your decision to follow Christ. Also, while listening to this message, if you're encouraged or something welled up inside of you, you want to get it out and let us know about it, we would love to hear that story. You can share that story at share your story button at FreshLifeChurch.com. It will encourage us to continue to do what we do here at Fresh Life. Also, if you would like to partner financially above and beyond what you give to your local church and partner with us to see the gospel go out over the airwaves all across this country, click the Give button at FreshLifeChurch.com and it'll launch a secure giving page and you can partner with us right there. Well, thank you so much for joining us at Fresh Life. God bless, and we'll see you next time.